if you will, please, and turn to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19. Once you arrive there, I want you to find verse number 11. Luke chapter 19, verse number 11. Once you find Luke 19, verse 11, I want you to stand with me. A lengthy introductory passage of Scripture, Luke chapter 19, verse number 11. I'm going to read out loud from verse 11 all the way through verse number 26. You can just follow along silently. The Bible says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass, that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. Another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up where I had not I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take now from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. They said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. I pray that your Holy Spirit would do the work. God, I yield myself to you, and I ask, Lord, that as a result of the sermon tonight, we will be better citizens, first of all, in that country called heaven, but secondly, this country called America. Bless us with thy presence. Help me to teach in such a way that it will be understood properly. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat there. I want to start, before I start to actually teach the lesson, I want to tell you something. I'll not be real dynamic tonight. I don't think I'll raise my voice a bunch, and I won't scare you, and I won't tell a bunch of funny jokes or stories or illustrations. I'm going to teach you something. To be honest, young people, you may have a difficult time figuring out what is so important about this, but the sermon is probably more important to you and your country's future than it is to some of the rest of us. But if everybody will listen to me tonight, we, of course, are approaching a presidential election time. We live in a country that is full of politics, and I want to teach you something tonight. I call the sermon Unscriptural Government. In the passage of Scripture that we just read, Jesus is doing the teaching. A nobleman needs to travel to a foreign country to receive an inheritance, virtually an inheritance of a kingdom. Before he goes away, he calls 10 of his servants to him. He gives each one of them some money to invest or to trade until he gets back. He then goes to that far country to get his inheritance. Through a process of occurrences, he comes back home. When he gets back home, he calls for those servants, and he wants them to give him a report about the money that he had given them to invest and to see how they had done in their trading. The Bible says, the first servant came to him in verse 16, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. So he gave this servant a pound, And that servant invested it and said, it hath gained 10 pounds. The nobleman's response was, he said, in verse 17, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. In other words, he used his money right, and he was rewarded for it. The second servant came to him in verse 18, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. So in other words, before he had left town, he handed a pound to another man. When he got back, that man said, the pound you gave me, I invested it, I spent it right, and it hath gained 5 pounds. The boss says in verse 19, and he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. So he gets rewarded. A third servant comes to him, and in verse 20 and 21 it says, and another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Now this guy also received the very same amount of money, a pound. He took that pound, wrapped it up in something, and tucked it away. Now listen to what the boss says. And let me go on. This servant said, for I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. Then the response of the boss is this in verse 24. He said, and he said unto him, them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. So the man that took the pound didn't do a thing with it, didn't multiply it, didn't work at it. Now the boss comes back and said, you didn't handle it right. I'm going to take it away from you. I'm going to give it to somebody that will use it right. Jesus clearly teaches that the man who gained 10 pounds was to be praised. So was the man who gained 5 pounds. But the man who would not work, the man that would not apply himself, the man that would not invest, he calls him, thou wicked servant. We'll come back to this teaching later on in my message. Socialism. What is socialism? Webster's Dictionary says, any of the various social systems based on shared or government ownership and administration of the means of production, distribution of goods, and capital. Socialism basically says, do away with private ownership of business and property. A socialist wants the government to own and operate the primary businesses and agencies of this country. Then, that socialistic government distributes the wealth evenly or as they see fit among the people. You might say, that sounds like communism. It is. Socialism is the precursor of communism. The main difference is that communism will take over the property and businesses by force and bloodshed. Socialism does it through politics, scheming, winsome personalities. Who is the father of communism? It's a man by the name of Karl Marx. Much of his doctrine is atheistic, so you know. He's a God-hater. A communist once said to a Baptist preacher, he said, you see that poor man over there? Communism can put a new suit on that poor man. The Baptist preacher said, Christianity can put a new man in that suit. Socialism and communism are brothers. Did you know what Russia used to call themselves? The USSR. That is the Union of Soviet Socialist Republic. One of their purposes was to eliminate God from the people's thinking. Karl Marx is the father of communism and socialism. They both believe in taking money away from the man who earns it and giving it to the fellow who does not earn it. Some would call it the Robin Hood syndrome. They both believe that the government should own and run everything, don't let anybody make too much money, and develop a dependent society. You say dependent on who? The government. The government then basically hands out the money in a variety of ways, which, so you know, in turn buys votes. Watch out if you ever have somebody in America saying, vote for me, I'm going to give you this, 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 and I'm going to give you this, and you don't have to get it, do anything to get it. That's socialism. What are they doing? They can get enough people to say, you give that to me, I'll vote for you. And they're taking hard-working people's money and buying votes with that money, which in turn keeps them in office, and it snowballs, and the whole country ends up in a mess. Folks, the Bible opposes socialism. The Scripture opposes communism. You say, well, what kind of government is scriptural? Well, the purest government is a kingdom. But you have to have the right king. That's not Captain Crunch, just so you know. You say, who's the right king? The King Jesus will run everything properly. A democracy is not necessarily the primary government that the Bible teaches, but it is far better than socialism and far, far better than communism. But one day when we get to heaven, there'll be a kingdom. You say, that's scary. You won't have to be scared. Jesus will be in charge and everything will be all right. So you understand, slowly but surely, socialism is becoming the direction that America is heading. Now, stay with me. Let me teach you some about this concept. First of all, the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. I want to start out this point, and we're going to ignore what I'm about to say, but I need to lay a platform. Everything you have belongs to God. God lets you own it on His behalf. You just taking care of what God gave you, and you can have your name on the title, and that's okay. God doesn't mind that, because He really knows who owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the cattle and all the hills. We weren't limiting. We weren't saying this is all God has. No, that is just a sample. God has all. But let me say, number one, the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. That, I think, is strongly expressed in the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, verse 15 says, thou shalt not steal. Folks, you're not to steal property. You say, well, how am I going to get it? You earn it. If I steal from you, you must have owned what was stolen. So in the very Ten Commandment, thou shalt not steal, you see private ownership. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We're not to covet other people's property. We are to earn and want our own. You know, I can't covet your property if it's not your property. It's your house, your servant, your ox. And folks, all the way through the Old Testament, we see God ordaining private ownership by an individual. The same is true all the way through the New Testament. See, socialism teaches that it is better for the property to be owned by the government, not the individual. Socialism is not biblical. Boy, there are countries in this world where the government has taken over people's farms and taken over their businesses. I was really worried when we were going through a terrible time financially a dozen years ago when the government took over GM. Dangerous thing when the government wants to start controlling everything. Right now they have primary control of the educational institutions that we call colleges and universities. It's a dangerous thing.
Yes, sir.
Dangerous thing when they want to control everything. So, point number one, the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. Number two, the Bible clearly teaches that it is good and right for an individual to experience profit. And as much as they can honestly earn. The Bible teaches, go profit. Go increase yourself. Do it legally, do it honestly, and God would say, no limit. No limit. Now, I want to go back to the story that we read there at the beginning of the sermon from Luke chapter 19. Remember the story, the nobleman and his servants. Jesus makes it clear that the ones who earn profit, they were good and they were successful. socialistic thinkers think as if a person profits or if they gain, there's something wrong with it, that it is virtually sinful. Quite the contrary. That is the exact opposite of what God teaches in the Bible. Any man or system who attempts to restrain personal profit is doing so contrary to the Scripture. Now, if it's being done legally and it's being done honestly, it should be no holds barred. The guy that works hard will increase, and that's okay. In Luke chapter 8, there's a parable called the parable of the sower. It's about a farmer that was sowing seed. It tells about this farmer, and he sows seed, and then it speaks of his results. Let me read to you Luke chapter 8, verse 8. It says, "And other fell," speaking of the seed, "on good ground, and sprang up, and bare fruit, an hundredfold. And when he had said this thing, he cried, and that hath ears to hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." In other words, it's taught there, this guy was a farmer, he planted his seed, and it increased a hundredfold. That wasn't wrong. It was right. It was right that that farmer be able to plant and get an increase. The least amount of increase taught in Luke chapter 8 was 30-fold. That's 3,000%. This teaches that people are to individually invest, individually earn, keep profit, and keep money and have investments. Folks, currently in America, it's a proven fact that our government takes outrageous amounts of money in taxes away from individually owned successful businesses, and then it weakens that business. It weakens that business's ability to increase itself. They are discouraging private enterprise and profit, which is unscriptural. Now, it's okay to be taxed, but the taxing is not to make the government bigger to take over more things. We're not to be building a big government. We ought to be building a lot of individual entities in our country, but not a big government. It's also dangerous for a country's economy. It makes it very unattractive for individuals to start new businesses. So they get this idea, the more you make, the more you're going to be taxed. Why should someone be punished like that? You say, what do you think they ought to do? Do the same thing God does. Put a percentage on it. If they just listen to God's way of doing things from Malachi chapter 3, you could straighten the economy in our country out. It is good and right to work hard and to be rewarded. Lazy people won't like what I'm saying. Hardworking people will love what I'm saying. So, first of all, the Bible clearly teaches and supports private ownership of property. Secondly, the Bible clearly teaches that it is good and right for individuals to experience profit and as much profit as they can honestly and legally gain for themselves. Number three, the Bible is very clear in its teaching that it is right for the individual to be able to save money and invest money and to gather wealth. God does not stop people from saving money, gathering money, and investing money. God promises riches and honor can come to those that serve Him, for instance. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out." Wow. In other words, God said, you do what I tell you to do, I'll fill your barn to beyond capacity, and I will give you so much you don't even know what to do with it all. That is the teaching of what is called capitalism, a free enterprise system, a place where hard workers get paid to work hard, and they are not punished because they worked extra hard. Nothing bothers me as much as to see a hard worker get penalized because they worked hard. Socialism rewards everyone evenly. You're looking at a pastor that thinks socialism is of the devil. It's not just another option, it's of the devil. See, God teaches against socialism. God says, much effort, much reward. Little effort, little reward. You say, well, preacher, that just makes sense. It doesn't to some stupid politicians. You say you shouldn't call them stupid. Okay, ignorant. Pick your word. Doesn't matter to me what you call it. A socialistic leader wants to take God's place in the people's lives. He wants himself and the government to become their provider. Do you know how many people look to the government today as their God? What would we do if the government didn't take care of us? Do for yourself? Hate to see that happen. They want to become the man God to the people. So, again, let me repeat myself. And on purpose. The Bible teaches that private ownership of property and business is proper. Secondly, the Bible clearly teaches that it is good and right for individuals to experience profit and as much profit as they can earn honestly and they can earn legally. The Bible clearly teaches it is right for an individual to be able to save, invest, and gather wealth. Now, next. You say, well, preacher, then how are people going to take care of their families? Well, the Bible teaches that families are to take care of their own. And I know for some of you, you're going to say, oh, I'm not sure I like this. Well, it's in the Bible. So I just want you to know it's in the Bible. By way, we take care of our families by way of our own labor, by way of our own earnings, by way of our own savings, by way of our own wealth. I happen to believe that churches are supposed to try to help take care of people. 1 Timothy 5:8 says this, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Wow. Socialism says let the government take care of everything. I'll tell you something, folks, and this I know will be hard, but it's the truth. The less dependent you are on the government, the better off you are. They want to be in control. Hey, God never intended for the government to tell you what you're to do with 100% of your money. Now, I think there's taxing in the Bible, and I don't think there's any problem with reasonable tax. But if the government takes total control, yeah, have any idea what a mess everything is in because of the government? Now, number five, the Bible very clearly teaches sowing and reaping. We've all heard the verse, Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You say, that's telling you if you're bad, then bad's going to come upon you. It's also telling you if you're good, then good's going to come upon you. One who works hard will get more than one who won't work hard. One who works less will receive less. The idea that all shall receive equal is not scriptural. I don't think it is the United States government's business to tell an employer what minimum wage ought to be. Say, preacher, I don't like you. Get in line, man. You say, well, how would I ever get enough money? How about prove yourself and make it so the boss wants to pay you instead of your God forcing on the employer how much to pay you? And for some of you, you're swallowing hard. But let me tell you, this what I'm teaching you is how America became great. I am not for a moment for a boss mistreating and harming and taking advantage of. I'm not for child slave labor and all that sort of thing. I'm just merely telling you when the government says, now I forget what, well, I think it was in the state of California, they're going to make the minimum wage $15 or $16 an hour. And so there are small businesses collapsing everywhere because they can't afford to pay a McDonald's worker $15 an hour to flip a hamburger. I'll tell you when you're not going to like it, when you go into McDonald's and they want $29.95 for a small fry and a cheeseburger. You're going to say, that's outrageous. Now I've got your attention. If the government's going to affect Big Macs, you're going to get involved in this battle because you're not going to put up with this kind of junk. But folks, the Bible teaches sowing and reaping. And if I thought that the government, when they set the minimum wage, would use some common sense, it would be okay. But they don't. They don't. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, 11, and 12 says, "For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies." You say, well, how much work? Look, you ought to do as much as you can, at least. Notice, no work, no eat. Notice, it uses the term, eat your own bread. Do you know that people are to be paid according to their merit or their worth, not according to their need? I like it when a guy can go to work, and if he works hard, he can move up the ladder. And if he's a hard worker, he gets paid more. And if some guy is a slouch and he doesn't care and he doesn't want to work and he doesn't want to show up on time and he's lazy and he's disloyal to the boss, you don't have to pay him as much. Matter of fact, you can can him. Can is an Owens term for fire. People are not supposed to be paid according to their need. They're to be paid according to their labor. Being paid according to need is Marxism. It's socialism. You know that, did you know, in heaven you will be rewarded according to your labor, your effort. Socialism opposes the scriptural concept of sowing and reaping. And again, I'll say this. I am not for anybody being abused. I'm not for anybody being hurt. I'm not for anybody being cheated. But if the government takes everything over, it starts taking over all the businesses, it decides how much people are going to get paid, it wants to give people things. Do you have any idea how many people out there right now could work, but they won't work because they get so much from the government? Which brings me to the last point of my sermon, and a couple of you going, good, I'm ready to get out of here. Socialism hurts the character of a people. It hurts the character of a people. Ecclesiastes 9:10 tells us, "Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest." I am not for someone that truly needs help getting, I'm not against them getting help. I'm against people that wouldn't have to have help, that milks the system, that could work but won't work, that could do a little but won't do anything. And they're always maneuvering, trying to figure out how to get money from hardworking people when they could have at least done what they could. If socialism is in place, why would anyone want to improve themselves? Socialism says, we're just going to meet your needs no matter what you contribute. Do you realize then why would anybody want to get up early and stay late and work hard and sweat? Wouldn't matter what you do. You say, yeah, but I would work hard anyway. Yeah, but the next generation won't. Because the only reason you would work hard anyway is because you're from the past generation that believed in a free enterprise system that was based on biblical principle that said, work hard, get paid for it. You came from a generation of different training and different character. Do you have any idea why the last few elections they keep saying, well, the young voters, that's because they are so far removed from scriptural teaching, they no longer realize, they don't have anything to compare it to. You and I know what it used to be like. Why would anyone want to achieve if everybody got treated exactly the same? Socialism kills initiative. Socialism destroys personal character. Why would anyone strive for excellence? Look, If they're going to take all the money, if a man goes out and he builds a business and he becomes a multi-millionaire, and they're going to take it all away from him and say, we're going to give it to everybody else, why would he want to build a business? Why would he want to do that? Why would anyone want to work long hours when the people that work short hours are going to get the same amount, the same treatment? Socialism creates laziness. It's a proven fact worldwide that a factory owned and operated by a government will produce less than a factory owned by an individual. It's a proven fact. If a man is working for his own prosperity, he will put more into it. But if that prosperity will be taken away from him, he's not going to work as hard. If you are corrupted enough, you don't like what I said. But let me tell you something. What I said is for your own good. It is for the good of our children. It is for the good of our grandchildren. I love America. I love America. I want America to succeed. I hate to see the character of American people becoming more and more anemic. I hate to see someone that is physically able. I can go to the grocery store, pull out my money to pay for my food, and have hot dogs on and rice that I'm checking out with, and watch someone in front of me that didn't earn a lick of their money get steak, and they eat better than I do, and I had to pay for mine, and somebody else paid for theirs. And I am for feeding the poor. I am for doing that. I want to feed the poor. I want to put a coat on the back that is cold. I want shoes on the feet. But there is a right and a wrong way to do it, and it is not to take everything away from a hardworking person. Look, you know something? I think if business were allowed, I think there are some of them that would be very benevolent with their money, but because it is taken from them, and they're not getting to choose to give it, it's robbery. It's robbery. Unscriptural government. You say, what do you think we ought to do? I think every pastor in America ought to preach a sermon just like this right about now. And I think the Democratic National Convention ought to invite me to come and teach this. If you love America, you ought to love what we would call free enterprise, just like the Scripture teaches it. You work hard, you get paid for it. You don't work hard, you get less. You take care of the truly, the Bible talks about taking care of the widows and those who are physically unable to take care of themselves. Not the lazy. And God says we ought to do that. And I think we see some unscriptural things taking place among our politicians and even in our government. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, we'll have an invitation. If you've never been saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you're saved, you ought to pray for your country. And young people, I realize what I said probably wasn't extremely interesting to you, but you don't realize that what I just told you is what will salvage the future of your country. If America goes socialistic, the next step is communism. And I wish you would study and figure out what communism is really all about. They hate God. It's atheistic in its roots. Who here tonight would say, preacher, God has spoken to my heart, but I will pray for America. And you'll raise your hand. I hope you will. I hope you will. You may put your hand down. If you need this altar for any reason, you'll be welcome to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Hey, I'm not against people getting certain benefits. I'm glad for them to get it. There are people that need help. But I'll tell you what, if you get 100%, and you could have contributed 20% because you could have worked and you could have done your part, you ought to give your 20%. Say, I could take care about half of my needs, and you ought to take care of your half and not use somebody else's hard work to take care of your other half. I don't think God's unreasonable. God would never require you to do what you cannot do, but God would ask you to do what you can. You'd be shocked how many people out there could do some, but they won't do any. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray and be on our way. Thank you. Look right back at me.